walking with God in meditation. Psalm chapter 1, meditation is a wonderful word, but I'm going to show you how to properly do it. Psalm chapter 1 is one of the more, what you would call, famous passages in the Bible. Many children have memorized Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. It's divided right in half. The first three verses talk about a righteous person. The last three talk about a wicked person. Look at verse 1, ready? Blessed is the man that does three things. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Need to be careful who you get your counsel from. You say, I don't counsel with wicked people. If you listen to bad music, music counsels you. The Bible plainly teaches that. If you listen to rock music or rap music or country, you're counseled every time you hear a song. The Bible is very specific about that. Be careful who you let counsel you and influence your thinking. Be very careful. It goes beyond just, well, who do I talk to? I don't talk to anybody. What do you listen to? People who watch TV. America needs to face the fact, if you're involved with NBC, CBS, ABC, if you're involved with all these shows, you're programmed when you watch them. They're conditioning your thinking. You're receiving counsel. Be careful who you let influence your thinking. A righteous, blessed, or truly happy because blood has been shed is the man, that's what the word blessed means, is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the first thing. Number two, watch this, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He's careful who he runs with. Okay, I'm a saved sinner. I just need to be careful about the sinners I spend time with. Amen. Notice the third thing. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What's a scorner? A scorner's a critic. So a blessed man is careful who he gets counsel from. I don't get counsel from ungodly people. I'm careful about the crowd I run with. Look, I'm friends with everybody and I love everybody. But I don't spend time with everybody. Because if you run with dogs, you're going to get fleas. That's just, you can't, if you spend enough time with a skunk, you're going to stink. God made you, I love this, God made you to be like Him. The more you spend time with God, the more godly you become. But God doesn't take that trait from you just because you decide to spend time with bad people. And if you spend time with bad people, God so made you that you will be influenced by them. You will pick up their traits. They don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They don't stand in the way of sinners. And they don't sit in the seat of the scornful. What's that mean? That means I need to be careful who I hang around. I don't want to spend time with critics. There are some people, everything's negative. They've always got something. When you get done with them, you just want to spit. That's the best way I can talk. It's just like, wow. Do you not have anything you can be thankful for and praise God for? Look, life's hard on everybody. Life's a struggle. Life is not easy. But there are some people, they have nothing to thank God for. Everything is negative. God says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't sit with critics. If you do that, those three things, you're blessed. Wonderful verse to sit and meditate on. I'm helping you define words here. Look at verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The law is the Bible. His delight is in the Bible, but it's more specific than that. It says his delight is in the law. What's the law? The law is the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. His delight is in the law and what God has said thou shalt and thou shalt not do. Yes, I love the story of David and Goliath. I love the story of Jonah and the whale. I love the story of creation. I love those stories. But he's saying here, you know what I like the most about the Bible? Is it tells me what to do and what not do. It draws boundaries for my life. It shows me how to please God. It shows me what God... Some people have the exact opposite view. I like the Bible, I like Jesus, but I don't like being told what to do. My delight is not in the law of the Bible, it's just in the stories. Did everybody see the difference? Here he says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate. There's that word for this morning, meditate day and night. The benefits of verse 1 and 2, this is such a wonderful chat. It's all good, amen? It's all Bible, but watch this. Here's the benefits. Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That word prosper and prosperity, it's in the Bible 6 times. If you ever look it up and say, what do I have to do for God to prosper me? Very interesting. If I put God first, this is one way, I want God to prosper me. And that's not just talking financially. That's talking I want to grow spiritually. I want my family prospered. I want my finances. Lord, prosper me. What do I got to do? Delight in the Bible. Put God first. Notice, next verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Psalm chapter 1, it says here, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We are told to do, this is what's amazing about the Bible study this morning. We are told, as a matter of fact, take your Bible and go over a couple of books to Isaiah 34:16. Go to Isaiah 34. I'm not going to go through all of these with you, but every child of God needs to see in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 34, and look at verse 16. Someone made the statement, you know, this is a long time ago. I heard a Christian say, how come you're always telling people to read the Bible? Nowhere in the Bible does it say, read the Bible. And I was like, you're a ding-dong. Don't keep talking like that, or you're going to prove yourself to be the fool that you don't know that you are. Look at Isaiah 34. Look at verse 16 once again. Ready? Watch this. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Does that sound like a commandment to read your Bible? Yeah. God does not defend himself in his word. God declares who he is. God does not defend his word. God declares what his word is. My word is perfect and pure and eternal, and God tells us to do what? With his word. Read it. That's why every Christian, the more you put the Bible in your life during the week, the stronger you become. I know some Christians, the only time they read their Bible is when they're at church. I can think of worse things to do. But child of God, tomorrow's Monday. If I asked you a question, don't answer it out loud. But when do you read your Bible tomorrow? There are some, there is no time. No, I got too much to do. I'm so busy. As far as I know, I'm the busiest person in the church. I'm joking, sort of. If I asked you a question as a Christian, as a child of God, when do you read your Bible tomorrow? Here's the average Christian statement. Maybe I'll read if I get around to it. You won't. I promise you won't. The devil always has something for you to do other than read your Bible. And if you don't determine you're going to read your Bible, you don't. I'm just telling you. Nobody accidentally reads their Bible. You read your Bible because you're supposed to. And you read your Bible because... Now, that's a different... I can show you the benefits of that. What I'm trying to show you this morning is reading your Bible is one of the things we're commanded to do with the Bible. We're supposed to read it. You say, how much? That's a different sermon there. We're told to read the Bible. The whole book of Psalms tells us to sing the Bible. Right? We're supposed to sing it. We're supposed to praise God in His Word. Now, all the songs we sing aren't Scripture. But sometimes it is good to take a Bible verse and put music to it. Helps you memorize it, right? Helps you get it in your song. We're supposed to sing the Bible. God tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. You say that's a pastor's verse. That's a verse for every Christian. But you know how come we don't take it any further than reading? Because so few Christians read their Bible that when we find out that you actually do read your Bible, we're like, yay! and we don't worry about anything else. Because so few Christians read their Bible. No, we're supposed to read the Bible, sing the Bible, study the Bible. We're supposed to memorize the Bible. Proverbs 3:3, write these words on the table of thine heart. All through the book of Proverbs. How do you write something on your heart? You memorize it. You say, well, my memory, I can't memorize anything. Your memory is a muscle. And it gets stronger as you use it like you use any muscle. And it gets weaker if you don't use it like any muscle. And you memorize what you want to memorize. Amen? So memorizing. Last thing, can I show you something? Watch. What are we supposed to do with the Bible? Read. Sing the Bible. Study it. Memorize it. Meditate. Did you know out of all the things that we're told to do with God's Word that God tells us, do you know what the thing God says we're supposed to do the most with the Bible? Meditate. It's in the Bible the most. Thou shalt. As a matter of fact, let's look at one of those. Go to Joshua 1:8. You know, it says in Proverbs, as you think in your heart, so are you. You are what you meditate on. A person cannot have perverted meditations and not have them come out in his lifestyle. It eventually comes out. What you are in secret eventually comes out in public. That's why change what you are in secret. Amen? Strengthen what you are. Don't weaken yourself. Okay? Watch this. Joshua 1:8. God is talking to Joshua. He's getting ready to take Moses' place here. Joshua is a 40-something-year-old man, probably in his 50s. And he says here, look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, if you'll do that, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So God says to Joshua, I know you're young. I know you're scared to death. Moses just died. He was 120 years old. You want to be the leader? I'll help you just like I helped Moses. If you'll put me first and put this book first, and I'll prosper you like I prospered Moses. If you'll put my book first. But this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Keep in mind, all Joshua had was the first five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's all Joshua had for a Bible. And God says those five books. Now, praise God, we've got 66. Amen. But it's just important for you to know all Joshua had was five books. And God says, you live in that book. You mark your Bible. We had somebody in church 2 months ago, and on a Wednesday night, you know, I'm always saying, like, I'm going to show you some words to underline this morning. One person came up to me, a visitor, and they said, I've never heard like you preach. And I said, what was different? You ask us to mark in our Bibles. I've never written in my Bible. And I said, you don't have to. I said, it was a woman. I wasn't going to tell you what it was, but it was a lady. And she said, you actually say mark in your Bible. How come you don't have a notebook and your Bible? I said, you can do that if you want. I said, but it's not sinful to mark in your Bible. Every once in a while you come across people, their Bible is so holy that they don't even mark in it. Me, I said, well, don't look in my Bible. I said, I got circles and marks and dashes and underlines. I said, I might shake your faith. Here we go. In Joshua, watch this. How do you meditate? Right there, I'm going to give you some words to underline that, and then I'm going to try to help you understand it. Does it see that thou mayest, if you'll underline the word, observe to do? If you'll underline those three words, observe to do. See, if you don't tell people how to scripturally meditate on the Bible, with the Beatles came Maharishi Yogi and yoga and Hinduism in America in the 1960s. Yoga was not a part of America in the 50s, 40s, 30s, before that. With Hinduism comes yoga. Yoga is now considered, in America, it is not a religion, it is a science because it affects the body. And because meditation and emptying your mind and doing what they teach in yoga class lowers heart rates, it is now a science and therapy for GM, IBM, pick many big companies in America. It's no longer called a religion. It's called something that helps our employees as a science. And I'm telling you, you do your own research, it goes back to the 60s. Okay? Now, with that in mind, the only meditation that people know about, unless they've been taught what I'm getting ready to teach you, is the yoga transcendental meditation. And if you want something that's scary, look at how Hinduism uses meditation. Look it up yourself. Meditation and yoga. When they're saying, just empty your mind, just empty your mind, the heart rate does lower, but yoga, the meditation in yoga is intended to prepare a person for death. It lowers the heart rate, lowers the heart rate. What they're teaching, Hinduism, this, oh, we all have good inside of us and everybody's basically good and you just need to let, that's Hinduism. That's not Bible. We're all naturally sinners. Amen? You either constrain that or you're going to blow a cork and go postal. Meditation, the way the world teaches it, is forbidden in the Bible. Can you take your Bible now and go to 1 Peter chapter 5? Let me just show you the opposite, what we're not saying, and then I'll show you how to do what we're talking about this morning. 1 Peter 1 Peter chapter 5, and there's other verses, all right? But 1 Peter chapter 5, what the world, 1 Peter in your New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 5, what the world teaches about meditation, God forbids. We're never supposed to have anything to do with. You say, are you sure? Watch 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and look what it says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The word vigilant, most people don't use anymore. The average person doesn't know what the word vigilant means. The word vigilant means be slow to make decisions. Don't be like, oh, I think I need to do this. God says, sit down and think about what you're being. You should not be driven by circumstances and emotions. Be vigilant. And the average person, when they read that, be sober. Okay, so don't get drunk, and then the devil won't be able to get me. That is not what the word sober means. When you drink, you lose control of your faculties. Okay? You lose control. The word sober can deal with alcohol, but the word sober means be in mental control all the time. You should never empty your mind. You're never supposed to just picture nothing. You know, all these stupid meditation guys. Just you're floating. You don't see anything. Empty the box and just don't. That's dangerous. Do you know why God says be sober? Because the Bible teaches in Matthew that the demons are out looking whom they can... Ooh, there's a room. Ooh, I can do... You empty, you're not... Okay, let me give you another thing. God tells us to be sober with our minds. You're never supposed to submit yourself to hypnotism. You're never supposed to give the control of your mind over to somebody else. That's very... Well, people have quit smoking that way. There's better ways to quit smoking. Watch the watch, you know. God says, don't do that. You are to be sober, have complete control of your mind, and be vigilant, because Satan's looking who he can control and devour. I believe hypnotism involves demon possession. I believe people that the yoga meditation, it's weird. You read people, oh yes, I emptied my mind and then I saw. What'd you see? Oh, I saw. That's scary to me. That's demonic influence. You say, why are you doing this? What the world says as meditation, this is forbidden. What God tells us to do more than anything in the Bible with His Word is meditate on it. What do you do? Let's go back to those three words I had you mark in Joshua 1:8. Observe to do. Observe to do. How do you scripturally meditate? If you observe something, that means you're seeing it, but God says three words. Observe to do. You're seeing it to do it. Let me give you Bible meditation. Are you ready? Have you ever pictured yourself? We just talked about reading your Bible, okay? Have you ever pictured yourself when it's time to read your Bible? Finding a place in your house, your Bible, get you a pen and a pencil and maybe a notebook if you want a study book. And have you ever pictured, meditated, and seen yourself observing the command to read your Bible? That's meditation. That's scriptural meditation. And you picture yourself reading your Bible. You say, well, that's that way when it's time to read your Bible, you've already done it in your mind. You may have done it 20 times. Have you ever pictured, here's scriptural meditation. Remember what I'm showing you. Observe to do. Picture yourself doing what the Bible says. How about this? Have you ever pictured yourself in public, meeting somebody that you don't know, you've never met before, and giving them a gospel tract? You say, well, I've never done that before. Scriptural meditation is when you take and you think about and you picture in your mind obeying what God has told you to do. So that when that time does come, you've already done it. 100 times. Have you ever pictured, I remember hearing the old preachers talk about, you know, boy, when we got saved, we went and we got those milk crates and we'd put them on a street corner and three guys would pass out gospel tracts and one guy would stand up there, folks, the Bible says you must be born again. Jesus saves. And I would hear him talk about that. And as a young preacher, as a young Christian, I wouldn't even call to preach. As a young, I'd sit there and go, wow, what was that like? And they said, we'd take a tent and put it on the back of a trailer and we would go to city and we'd go to a parking lot and set up that tent. And then we'd pass out flyers all day. Folks, revival meeting tomorrow night. Be at the tent, 7 o'clock. It'll be right over here. And he said 100 people would show up and then we'd preach and 80 people or 75 people of the 100 would get saved. What's that like? I used to picture that and dream about that. That's Bible meditation. Have you ever pictured yourself obeying the Bible? Have you ever pictured yourself, okay, whatever it is that you struggle with in the Christian life, God says meditate on it. Picture yourself doing right. Did you know how much meditation plays within life? They used to teach us, a Sunday school teacher, Brother Hiles used to say, no student in your class ought to control you. He said, what are you going to do when we teach gangland kids from Chicago? What are you going to do when a kid stands up and starts cussing? Blankety blank, blank, blank. How are you going to handle it? You better not fly off the handle. You better know what you're going to do. How are you going to handle it when somebody misbehaves? Meditate on it. Picture yourself handling it as a spirit-controlled Christian. You wanted to handle them as a spirit-filled Christian, not as a class! Sit down! Stop! You got a plan. How do you do that? You meditate, you prepare, you plan, you observe to do in your mind. Now, with this thing called meditation, we got a couple minutes left. Go to Psalm 46, verse 10. God tells us not to empty our mind, but what does God say to do? Psalm 46, verse 10. Right in the middle of your Bible, Psalm 46, beautiful verse. What a verse. And this is what makes meditation so hard. God says, be still and know that I am God. If you don't plan, that's why I said, reading your Bible, your time with God, time where you sit and you shut the TV off, you shut the internet off, be still. Doesn't mean empty your mind. God says, just have nothing to focus on but my word and know that I am God. Think about me. Think about who I am. Think about what my word is saying. And when you read a verse, what is God saying to me? That ability, can you just grab the passage, blah, 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 okay, done, good, okay, got the calendar done, and what we're supposed to read today, and move on. God says the ability of a Christian to stop everything and just be still. Quiet yourself. The average Christian in our fast-paced society, that doesn't exist. Oh yeah, I just run from the time I get up until the time I go to bed, and I'm just exhausted, and I just don't know what I'm going to do, and I just think I know. In city life, it's harder to do that. That's why there are some blessings of being in the country, spending time by yourself, with nobody else around. Now let's just go to your house. Your ability to sit in your house and read your Bible and just be still and know that He is God while you read His Word. What is God saying to me? What is God? And the average person doesn't think about that. Let me tell you another word for meditation. Ready? One, it's observing to do. Picturing yourself obeying. Another thing is about meditation is it takes and it follows the thought through. Well, what does that mean? Well, then that would mean this. And that would mean this. Can I tell you something? Meditation is where God speaks to your heart. I hope that makes sense to you. You can read your Bible and you can read it so fast that you did what you were supposed to do, but you didn't get anything out of it because you didn't do what? Meditate. This is where depth comes from in the Christian life. This is where God speaks to your heart. Meditation is so important. What is God saying to me when I read His Word? All right? You'll notice scriptural meditation. Now, this is in your lesson. You can look at it later. But scriptural meditation is always on God and His work. Psalm 77:12. Meditation is day and night. Meditation is sweet. Psalm 104, verse 34. And then the rewards of meditating in your Bible. Fruitfulness, obedience, guidance from the Lord, safety, companionship, answered prayer, God's goodness. I'm telling you, walking with God and meditating. You say, well, I remember as a welder, in my station, once I got my jig set up and I had my metal here and I'd put it in, clamp it down, helmet would go down, raise it, it went over here on the pallet and put more pieces. My work was kind of monotonous. I got to where I could get in a rhythm. You know what I did with my spelling words when I was memorizing how to spell the stupid? This is when I was in college. I hung my spelling words up on the booth. So I'd look up. Clamp. Good, okay. Helmet went up. Clamps went out. I'd look at my spelling list. Every job's not like that. I understand that. To where you can think about something else while you're doing what you're supposed to be paid for. Amen. But we do have meditation time. We do have times. What does your mind think on when it's free to think about anything you want to think about? Make sure you use meditation. This is where depth in the Christian life comes. Can I just tell you something about messages that I preach? This morning's message. The more I think about a message, the deeper it goes. Depth in a message comes from meditation. And if I just throw a message together, which I don't do, you'll notice it's real shallow. Yeah, there's Bible verses in it, but there's not a lot of depth. Depth comes from meditation. It's how God speaks to your heart. It's a wonderful truth. And it's something, watch this, not very many Christians. This should be a tool in your toolbox. Amen? Something you take home. This isn't anything. Okay, meditation is nothing you would do at church. Because we're not going to be still this morning. Amen? We're going to sing. We're going to pray. We're going to hear preaching. But we're not going to be still to where there's nothing for you to focus on. Right? This is something you will either do on your own or it will not happen.